Bring up my friend, Daryl Thomas.
So, I want to thank Howard for a lot of things, but I also want to thank Tom for that presentation.
Mike.
Not on? Oh, I have to talk closer? Okay. So, I've been with Howard 17 years, and I don't know that I'm the longest one that keeps coming, but I think Lewis is right in that range, things like this, a lot of other people. It's an honor to be asked to speak at these, and I really appreciate it. I never overlook it, and I consider Howard to be one of the two or three closest relationships in my life. A long time ago, anybody ever have those moments in your life where you're just praying to God, what do I need to do next? And God told me to do something that I never dreamed of, that I believe in my soul was to develop two relationships. One was with Howard Partridge, and the other was to find my wife. It's that important to me. What Howard was referring to, and I don't know that he knows my whole story, I got kind of plucked out of my teenage years to be trained as a special operations soldier. I was never in our military. I worked for a private intelligence organization, worked for a congressman who started this organization and a two-star general, retired, that felt the need to fill some gaps militarily that our country wasn't willing to do so shortly after Vietnam. So I set out a process of training through 9 different special operations organizations around the world, four in America and 3 in other countries. I went through Ranger School, I went through Green Beret training, I went through SEAL training. They didn't let me do the whole thing. They just invited me for Hell Week. Can you imagine? I went through Air Force SOC training, I went through Raider training with the Marines. I went through British SAS, SBS training. I went through Mossad, Israeli training. And the most unique was the JTF-2 training with the Canadians. But what they made me do before that was to go through boot camp. How many of you have been through the boot camp here? One thing I realized I needed to do was to learn the cultures, learn the foundation of these organizations before I could actually learn what they had to teach. You can't get to where you need to be unless you have a solid foundation. Some of these boot camps I went through 2 and 3 times. It wasn't because I had to, it's because I felt like I needed to understand the culture, understand the mindset, and more generally the way of thinking. So I had a kind of a unique background, but I thank God for it. It was a very unique experience. We achieved the goals we set out to achieve, and it was something that I still to this day benefit from. So I appreciate Howard mentioning that. But how many of you would understand that to be successful, you can't just join an organization like the Inner Circle? You're not going to be successful just because you join the Inner Circle. Y'all get that? And just by attending these conferences isn't going to help you to achieve your goals, right? Why is that? You can't just be around these people and get to where you want to be, right? Some people, I think, treat this like it's a vacation sometimes, you know? This is where we learn, this is where the foundation is set, and this is where we learn how to grow, by being around people who are of a different mindset, a different way of thinking. So I've had a long-standing realization that there's basically 3 reasons that people fail to achieve the objectives that they're trying to set out to achieve. They either don't know what to do, they don't know how to do it, or they choose not to. And that's the failure to implement that Howard talks about. FTI, failure to implement, is the number one, without a doubt, reason that people don't get to where they want to be. You know how to be a good husband, right? You know how to be a good spouse, you know how to be a good parent, but we don't always implement those things. We all instinctively know kind of the foundational rules that it takes to be successful in business, but we don't always implement them. We fine-tune them there. We learn things here. But it can't just stay here. You've got to go out into the field, go back to your businesses, and implement these things. When I first started with Howard, I think I need the little clicker here. Is that right? Is that what this is? Oh, is this it? Okay. So which one do I press? Okay. So when I started with Howard, I felt like that every problem in my life, including my business, could be solved just by working harder. That's not me, but it looks like me, right? This was my mindset when it came to business, because it was sometimes the mindset of a soldier. You have a task you're supposed to achieve, you just give it everything you've got. And if you just work harder, you're going to achieve your goals. Well, would you agree that that's not always the case, right? So as a result, this is kind of what my life and my business looked like. It was all over the place. I wasn't getting to where I wanted to be, you know? It was frustrating. How many of you can identify with this? Do you feel that way? Yeah, I found myself way back when driving somewhere to do something, and along the way I forgot what it was. I don't even know where I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. So my point with this is to be a little funny, but at the same time make some points that, you know, we just need to be on the right track, and we need to know why we're on that track. We need to know what to do. We need to know how to do it. But we have to choose to implement what we know in a very organized way so that things look more like this. Things aren't perfect. You have waves in the road. You have issues, but you know how to solve them, and you're going in the right direction. So that's what I learned to do. So back in the day, my day looked more like this at the end of the day. This is how I relaxed after work. I mean, I was working 12, 14, up to 20 hours a day before I met Howard. It was very frustrating. It's like, why can't I get to be where I want to be? So after implementing what I learned from Howard, this is how I spend my time after work now, okay? Which would you rather have? So back before Howard, this is what my business felt like. This is funny because my wife took this picture and sent it to me. She was in Germany, which is where she's from. This was outside her parents' place, the landscape company that was taking care of their lawn. Today, my business feels more like this. At that same moment, this was the landscape company that was our house, oddly enough. So before Howard, we lived in a nice little townhome, and the backyard looked like this. Not too bad. But after Howard, we bought a house or built a house on the lake. That's a little better. And my backyard looks more like this. That's my granddaughter. We all have cute granddaughters or grandkids, right? This one is just so adorable. I'd love to have her play with Howard's. So this is what my backyard looks like today. I never dreamed I'd have a place like that. So one thing we'd like to do is we go boating. So we bought a nice pontoon boat. We go out on the boat as a family and take our friends out on the boat. But before Howard, I had a boat, but it looked more like this. Quality of life issues, right? And we've got some pretty cool neighbors now that we've moved into the neighborhood we're in on the lake. This guy, his name's Jeremy Lamb. He lives next door to me. He's a 2-time NBA All-Star. Oddly enough, he went to my high school. I'm a little older than he is, though. But we live in a subdivision or an area where we have lots of NBA stars that live there. This was my neighbor before we moved there. Her name is Sandy. Sandy's a sweet lady, but she doesn't play in the NBA. But before Howard, or after Howard, I should say, I developed clients that looked a lot like these guys. But that wasn't always the case. Before I met Howard, my clients looked more like this guy. And I'm not kidding. So my wife's from Germany. We go on a lot of European vacations. We see some amazing sights. You know, And sometimes we run into people like this. But before Howard, I can't tell you, I honestly don't know how long it had been since I'd been on a vacation. I mean, my vacation looked more like this, right? I was exhausted. We didn't have time to go anywhere. It's amazing how you can spend years, you know, it's like the frog being cooked, right? You feel okay, and then before you know it, the heat keeps getting turned up, and you don't know that you're exhausted. You don't know that you're worn out. So it's nice to be able to have an organized business that you're able to do things and enjoy your life. I mean, why do we do this? Why does your business exist? Somebody tell me. Why does your business exist? To help you achieve your life goals. And this isn't it. So, but before Howard, my friends kind of looked like this guy or these guys. Or, oops, nope. Oh, I still hang out with Sandy even though I'm on vacation. But before Howard, my friends looked kind of like this, right? And I'm hanging out with a better class of people because now I get to hang out with people like this. And really smart people like this. Now, this is kind of the funny part, but this is actually true. I've been able to meet some really cool people over the years since I have better clients and they have relationships with people. These aren't actual pictures, but I got to meet Sylvester Stallone. I got to meet Donald Trump. I got to meet The Rock. Oops. I even met Kevin Hart. So when your business begins to move forward, you develop a higher clientele. I mean, the CEO of Bank of America is one of our clients, Moynihan. One of the relationships I value very much. Y'all have Family Dollar here in Houston, right? Or in your area? The founders of Family Dollar stores have been customers of mine for about 15 years, their entire family. I mean, there's five family members. They're all billionaires. But this is Leon and Sandra Levine. I'm in the middle of having a book published through Michelle, and this guy's going to write an endorsement, the founder of Family Dollar. I couldn't have done things like that without Howard. There's just no way. But these people live in houses like this. And even this place. But before Howard, my clients lived in places like this. And odd things went on. These are actual pictures. Things like this. But some of them were pretty cool. We got to meet this guy. Anybody know Joe Dirt? And one thing very unusual, we have this guy for a client. Remember Ricky Bobby? This is the actual Ricky Bobby house. It's in Cornelius, North Carolina. We got to clean the place like three times while they were filming. They were pretty dirty. But the actual Ricky Bobby house. So since getting involved with Howard, I have a fleet of vans that we're the largest non-franchise company of our type in Charlotte. There we go. But before Howard, this was my fleet. And then we moved into a new office a couple of years ago. And here's our office. Before Howard, this was my office. Seriously, I did everything out of that Astro van. And we've developed a really great team. But before Howard, my team looked more like these guys. One thing that's really cool, we sometimes have jets fly over our office. You know, we're kind of in the path way up though with Charlotte Airport. Sometimes we have jets fly over. Other times we have birds like hawks fly over. But when you get involved with Howard, this is what's happened. Elon Musk fires Saturn V rockets over our office. This was taken at like 4 o'clock in the morning. Why was I there? Look up and there's this rockets going right across. So I guess the bottom line is, if you want your business to look more like this instead of this, because this is how it felt for so many years. I was so frustrated. I told Howard when we met, do you remember what I told you? That if you can't help me, that I'm just going to walk away from this business, right? It was so frustrating. It was the most frustrating thing I'd ever done. I'm a special ops soldier. This was harder. I'm not kidding. So if you want to look more like this, and less like this, all kidding aside, that's how you feel, right? You feel like, why can't I do this? Why can't I figure it out? Why can't I get this right? So, you know, this is how you feel. May not be how you are, but it's how you feel once you're able to be more in control of your life. You're like, I can do anything. Business is difficult. Business is not easy. The way, Tom's presentation, I mean, I learned more from people like that than I could ever learn from people like, that I was around before Howard. So Howard mentioned that we're going to pay a little tribute. My former commander, he was a 2-star general, retired. Howard doesn't know this story. The congressman I worked for, his name was Larry McDonald. Does anybody remember Larry McDonald? He had the distinction of being the only sitting congressman to ever be killed by the Soviets. He was in a civilian airliner in 1983 flying from Anchorage, Alaska to South Korea, and they shot it down. Okay? He was 49 years old. I was 22 at the time. He was closer to me than my own father. And John Singlob, this gentleman, there was no funeral, there was a service. He says, well, we're going to have to live for him, so I'm going to live to be 100. You see the date on this? He passed away about 10 days ago. He lived up to his end of the bargain. He told me, you're going to have to make it to 110, right? So this guy was just a bulldog. This man parachuted into France in 1944 to help organize the French resistance. Once the war was won in Germany, he goes to the Pacific and helps liberate POW camps before the end of the war. So he fought in the European theater, fought in the Pacific theater. Beyond that, he led troops in Korea, led troops in Vietnam. And then, beginning in 1979, we helped push the Soviets and the Cubans out of Central America and out of Afghanistan and other places. And he passed away a week ago Saturday, I think it was the 29th. This is an American hero that most people have no idea about. He did more in his lifetime to advance freedom than probably anybody alive, and nobody knows who he is. So I wanted to recognize him here for what he did. Major General John Singlob. And Howard has a, where's this from?
I'll tell him.
Okay.
By the way, how many of you have served in the military? Stand up, please. Thank you. Thank you for your service. So here, hold that for me, Daryl. Okay, so the timing of God is amazing, isn't it? So Ziegler is moving their offices, and I have an office there. And I have a few things that are mine in that office and a few things that were just there when I got there. And a few things that I acquired from other areas in the office, you know. Tom doesn't know what's mine and what's theirs, you know. So last night when he came in, he said, I got your stuff. And this was in one of the boxes. And I was like, well, that's not mine. I'm trying to find out from Laurie Majors where this flag came from. So I decided to give it to Daryl. In honor of his friend. And to honor him, because this man came all the way from Charlotte, North Carolina, and spent this time with us to inspire you. Period. It's the only reason he's here. Thank you, brother. We want you to love your business. We want you to love your family. We want you to love God. We want you to love our country. So we're going to do one final special thing before Michelle comes up. So always when I meet somebody, you know, always, well, I just happen to find out that she's a singer. So what do you think I said? Can you sing me something? And she's going to sing a special song for us. Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome, okay. Howard.
All right.
All right, guys. It's tough when you're a singer. It's been a while. I'm now an accountant, but I was a singer. I majored in music. But the one thing you always have in your repertoire is the national anthem. So I'd like to ask you all to rise, please, for our national anthem. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Woo. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you.